I was feeling into this mystery of human being. The actual reality of being able to fall into this moment of oneness, this moment of clarity where we can see through everything and have somehow deep understandings with or without words, with or without concepts, but just glimpses of something real. And how at the same time that ability doesn't necessarily mean that we are completely clean from psychological games or emotional entanglements or things that somehow through the mind we would want to be free of. So many, many times we start a spiritual path or engage ourselves into meditation or some kind of deepening or way so that we can see through. But we get stuck with the thought of having to clear up first, like having to be better first. As if we have to, like as if we are entering a different world. As if when we speak about spirituality, we enter a different room from when we are actually living our daily life. And I feel that this understanding somehow gives a lot of suffering in the way of like frustration and somehow we find ourselves trying to arrange and repair rather than actually inviting ourselves to dive in with what is, with what we are, you know. So it's not that the entanglement of emotionality or psychology is meant to be there forever. Like, it could go away, it could soften and dissolve, but in the spiritual path, somehow the diving in is not engaged with the repairing or the putting things or the dissolving things by our own force, by our own will. somehow it seems that no, not much is needed to actually dive in. But a little sense of love for what it is needs to be there. Like, love for who I am to start with, you know? With the whole display of what I like and what I don't like about myself. And somehow this diving in has like this we could say secret power of transformation or secret power of dissolving. So without diving in, before diving in, we could speak about psychology and emotionality, good and bad problems, what I want to get rid, what I want to gain. But the diving in is somehow another dimension of the way. Like, it is not counting on our force that things will change. So it requires a sense of trust. If we can understand trust without stress, not trust like because I want to trust, but trust because we can sense, we can perceive this something else. We can perceive this mystery or this something which escapes our force, which works. In spite, how you say? In spite of me, you know? Like, it doesn't get activated because of my great kind of idea or my great kind of creativity or ability to deal with things or to turn things around and look at them and, you know, all these things that we like to do. But some other movement, some other energy, some other ability which is beyond my own force, beyond even my great idea. So we could say this diving in, this what I call real meditation, which is not about even seeing things or doing anything, but just this beingness or this allowing myself to be, like to rest in the arms of, we can say, or to rest in this nothingness if we are not happy with the arms of anyone or anything. And there is where the meeting has a chance and where the transformation can actually happen. The mantra we were singing yesterday, the Gayatri mantra, I would actually never stop singing it. It says, I bow to this wisdom which is below the earth, on the earth, and above the earth. this wisdom full of light. And I marry this light so that by being with it, slowly, slowly, all the ignorance goes away. So there is not much doing in this being with. But there is a sense of needing a lot of time being with this light. The image or the words are, so I marry this light. So the sense of spending somehow the whole life with this light. So that in this being with, slowly, slowly the ignorance goes away. We don't even know which ignorance we are speaking about. Or in other words, it's not up to us to decide that that which we have to work with. But somehow understanding that what is in our hands to do is this willingness to dive in, this making space and making time to be with this light, with this nothingness, with this holding hand. So that slowly, slowly, like secretly, things kind of get placed into their right place. Things get somehow settled and brought to their own place, you know. It seems to me that we are only going to be willing, and not only willing, but happy to be spending time with this light, when we find the joy of being in this space. So again, it's not about forcing ourselves and pushing ourselves through this way and mentally choosing to be there and putting forcefully ourselves there, like I have to meditate. But actually, through our own experience, chewing and getting to know this other place to be, which is not the mind, it's not the emotional realm, it's not the sensations, it's not the feelings. But as we give space, and as we allow ourselves to sink in and become somehow more and more subtle, so we can actually perceive this other place, which is not screaming all the time, it's not so loud as the mind is, or not so intense as the emotions could be. But something much subtle. It's like starting to tune into another level of sensitivity where we can actually feel an ant crawling on our skin, where we can actually feel the breeze, like the air, like caressing our skin. So this process of becoming sensible, of becoming subtle, so that we actually get in touch with this something else. And what happens is not that we force ourselves there, but in discovering that place, in finding joy in this place, we naturally choose that. We naturally want to be in that space. And that is somehow how it becomes possible to actually spend time there. And let the process itself do its movement of transformation. So, in a way, we could say that it's a very simple movement. We start to choose to spend time with this light as we get to know this light. And as we get to have a taste of the joy of this beingness, we naturally choose that. So it's a movement from what I thought was the best place to be, which usually is my mind, my controlling place, my emotional place, my feelings place, into some other place. But in a way, it's like discovering a better car than my own car. It's not complicated to understand that I was fine as long as I didn't know about this other place, about this other automatic car, as I'm discovering these days. For good or for bad. But the moment you get to spend time with this automatic car, with this other place, you find yourself naturally wanting that, naturally leaning towards that. And you start to really feel into what is nourishing for me, what gives this sense of aliveness, what makes life alive, what makes life worth living. So many times, all those things like spread around that we were reaching out to be fed, to drink from them, to eat from them. We start to see that actually they have like a very limited kind of, you could say like very bad mileage. Like they are very temporary, very cut, how to say, into sections. This area, this other area, this other area. And in finding this other space, there it seems to be a source with much better mileage. Like with so little effort, or with no effort even, things get transformed. Things get into their place naturally. So, what is that which feeds me? There's this beautiful image in the Bhagavad Gita of this tree upside down. So it's this tree that has the leaves and the flowers and the fruits down in the earth, and the roots open into the sky. So somehow this sense, which in the beginning it could seem very solitary, like this kind of drinking from the sky, it could feel very, very alone in terms of what is deeply needed from the external world. But actually, as we find ourselves like plugged into this sky, we can actually feel the experience of joy in the sharing. So we are not depending on the sharing or on what is around to be alive, to be nourished, but in something else, much deeper. And from that nourishment, what happens around is play more than what I need, what I want, and or what I reject. So in being fed by the sky, by the source, there is so much freedom. In the relation with everything else which is around us, and that we usually relate as like owning or lacking or wanting or rejecting or needing. So we can actually feel that we can fly. Or we can be much more light about almost everything. It's almost like being put in front of the question of death. There is a jump. You could be preoccupied with so many things, and suddenly, you know, suddenly a friend or someone who we love is dying. And it actually feels like that the whole world stops, like everything drops. And we are put in front of this question, which we cannot avoid, which cannot be just answered. So the jump, the movement is pretty similar. This sense of flying, like through the mind, there is no way that movement can happen. And yet in this being plucked, there is the click into freedom, into spaciousness, into, in India they say, like the play of Krishna. So understanding life as a ongoing play of love, where there is room for actually having fun. So putting down our armors and our sense of I can, and somehow awakening into the mystery. It doesn't need to be a religious sense. It doesn't need to have anything old in it. But just this acknowledgement of something taking action and this not being my own force. So acknowledging that, or being naked with that, is ultimately is devotion. Is gratitude. Is becoming who I am, not bigger, not smaller, but honoring who I am. Doing what is in my hands to do, and leaving to something else what is not in my hands to do. What is not my business, like trying to push through, like trying to get better at, like trying to get rid of. So the sense of awe, or the sense of wonder, or being in touch with beauty. We can feel there the texture of what I'm speaking about. We don't need to put name on it. We don't need to contract it. We don't need to make it more limited, you know. But to be open to that mystery. It is actually funny to be speaking about something like terribly obvious. It is pretty strange how we humans kind of pop up here. And very quickly, we fixate everything. We know how we came here. We know how we were made, you know. We know what we're supposed to do. We know where we are going. How could that possibly be? When we don't even know how we got here. But we seem to have this amazing ability to forget, or this amazing ability to put something, like whatever, like to put something into the areas where we don't know. So in any blank space in our lives, we just put something in it. So that we can relax. So that we can think we know and we can turn the page into the next subject. So it is funny in a way to be speaking about something as obvious as mystery. And feeling that we got to a point where to speak about mystery could be speaking about something fancy or something weird to speak of. So, more than any words, just tuning in and remembering this natural not knowing and allowing ourselves to be in this natural not knowing, in the inbuilt sense of wonder without having to jump. Without having to grasp an answer. So the sense of leaving the doors open, of becoming simple again, becoming like a child again. So I don't know if there is any question or any comment.
First of all, I can't believe how beautiful that talk was. You touched on a number of things that are really present for me, from passing thoughts to more focused thoughts. And I wonder if you would say more about the last thing that you said about being in the mystery. Because you've lived your life in that space for so long now.
I would say more like this willingness to move out of the way. We have this compulsive kind of tendency to come to conclusions so that there is no mystery, so that we know it, you know. And in my experience, like, to become human is not only to bear this mystery, but kind of to become friends with this mystery, like to understand that we are going to live together with this mystery, and that is a blessing, that is beautiful in itself. It's not a bad joke, you know, it is beautiful. It's so part of our being human.
So it seems to me what's required then is this very deep, deep, deep trust.
Yeah. But I always, you know, the word trust, it feels like it could be a feather or it could be a knife. Somehow, you know, like trust as a natural movement, like through experience, we get to trust. Like naturally, slowly, slowly, we get to trust and be relaxed in this mystery, you know. That is very different from wanting to trust, you know. That would be different from, yeah, just kind of forcefully wanting to trust, which it feels like we get to the same place, but not through experience. It's not like through the experience that we get to trust and relax in the other stressful way. It is more like without experience, I want to trust. So it's like kind of the mind kind of imposing this, no? And that feels forceful. Yeah. So just, you know, yeah, it requires this deep trust, but letting this deep trust come from experience, you know, like to really like letting it come like slowly, slowly. You know? Like through experience.
This seems so anti-Western culture.
Yeah.
Which is so goal-driven and outcome-driven.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you can feel like, for example, like imagine this room, dark, no? And then, you know, someone you love, you know, wants to enter and is afraid. you can say, ah, just trust, you know? And this person could really like put pressure in the mind and manage to come in. Very stressed, you know? But managed, you know? Or you could hold her hand, you know, and come with her in the room. So that person, like, you know, the outcome is that in both situations she could be in the room, but in one would be like stressed, you know, because through the mind decided, like, okay, I can trust, ah, trust, 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 you know. Or the other, like, is brought here with kind of good company, you know. And in this, there is real possibility for relaxing. So something like this with ourselves, you know. Many times we throw ourselves into the ocean, you know, with sharks and these kind of things, you know, and we say, ah, I have to trust, you know, like this kind of, and instead of like just holding our own hand and just, you know, going to the swimming pool first, you know, and then to the Mediterranean, you know, and then maybe to the Pacific, you know.
Going to this place because it's well-being. What about if we want to bring somebody to that place? Is that a harmful or like that? Is that a need that we are imposing on ourselves to want to bring somebody to that place, which is a beautiful place? But is that too much to ask of ourselves? To do such a thing.
Yeah, that's what naturally comes to our hearts. Like when we have a taste of that, you know, we want to go out and sing about that, you know, like just, you know, tell everyone because it's like very happy news, you know. So that's very natural, in not very naturally this comes, and it comes from a very, you could say, like innocent, beautiful place, you know. But the thing is, like, in my experience, the chances of the other person to actually listen to this song are like tiny, very, very small, you know.
That was a question.
Yeah, so they are very, very small,
So
you know.
that would make it a difficult thing.
That will first break your heart,
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
and then, like, if you keep, like, you know, like, if you base your happiness in that, then you will not be happy.
I see now
Yeah.
an answer to my question because the joy should be enough just to sing, and if somebody
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
wants it, then they come and get
Yeah,
it.
you just sing, and then if you know your duty, we can say, or if you feel so, then is to sing, but not expecting anything thing, you know, because then otherwise you will be miserable.
Yeah, you know. Suffering.
Yeah, you know, and but to really like it, that also doesn't mean to throw all the hope into the trash can, you know. It means like to basically like not making your happiness depend on the answer. Yeah. And to be very, very just open, you know, in case the right moment comes, you know. So you can still be there, very like supportive and tuned into this slight possibility. Who knows in how many years, like it doesn't matter, it's not like within the time frame, but just you could be this like open, yeah, in case there is a possibility, there is an openness from this other side and something could be like deeply shared, you know, then could happen, you know. But kind of throwing the stones when like when it's not right time, then it doesn't work. Yeah. May we all find the beauty and the joy of simply spending time in the heart of everything, so that what needs to be, what wants to be transformed, liberated, can be transformed and liberated.